Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Wow,
I watched you struggle, and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Auburn Arena time is 9:10 p.m. Actually, I got 9:12 p.m. Central, maybe daylight forever time, based on Senator Tupperville's presentation today. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, heard by the good folks, collegemagnolia.com. The two seed we all need. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It is I, at SenaCrow2 on Twitter. You find me at SenaCrow on Venmo. The S tonight in the middle name of my co-host with the most, at Ryan S. Starrett, stands for Solo Champs. Ryan, do you read me?
Loud and clear. I think the S also stands for not sharing shit.
The other co-host coming to you live via the magic of Skype, giving you the full Fort Payne ASMR you pay extra for. A man who's got just the amber is the color of his energy. Let's be honest with each other. The AU chief.
Greetings.
I had something else planned, but I forgot the first line of Amber is the color of your energy. And so I just went with the chorus.
Well, yeah, 311 Day is coming up.
I wanted a much more obscure reference to 311 than just the chorus of their most popular song.
4 days from now, which means I think
Auburn will play basketball on 311.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, they will. And 1 day from now marks the boy, how long ago was that? Some anniversary of when Auburn planned an outdoor concert for 311 at the track in March in Auburn, you know, where it rains like every day, and they had to cancel it.
I was supposed to go to that concert. It was when I was in college.
Yeah. I was in line for that concert. I was the third person in line. I'd been there a long time, and they made everybody go home because there was some sort of tornado warning, and then nothing happened. But they canceled the show anyway.
I think they may have had a PB game that day.
Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan was probably.
That was 2008.
I probably wasn't old enough for solid food yet.
It was 2008 because that was my last. No, wait. Yeah, I guess I was I'd already graduated. That makes sense. No, it may have been 2006. That would make more sense. Anyway, yep, way to go. UPC, one of the worst organizations on campus.
Okay.
Eating S chief.
One of the best organizations on campus, the Auburn gymnastics team.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, hang on. Are we going to introduce our guest?
Well, I was going to introduce him when we got to basketball.
Oh, well, I mean.
But tonight, coming on the show is Dr. McLaughlin of the McLaughlin firm. You can find him at Shooty Hoops Will on Twitter. Will, how are you? Sorry for the introduction. It was botched.
I'm always the forgotten one. It's all good. No worries.
No, it's fine. It's whatever, man.
Look, just there's one person here in a bracket, and he's showing off. You think he's too good for us now?
Well, I was going to talk about gymnastics, then I was going to segue into basketball and bring our basketball expert in.
We're definitely talking tit, right?
Of course.
Okay. Twitter Invitational Tournament?
Yes.
Yes.
Auburn gymnastics needed a win over number 3 Florida to split the conference title. And they were...
And got totally hosed by the judges.
Yeah, they were on pace for a program record early, but it seemed like Florida was still going to run away with it. It's wild. Gymnastics is wild in that Auburn could have the best day of its the history of its school and could still get destroyed. But then, in the third rotation, SUNY hits a 10, but Florida hits a 10 on the floor. And then going into the last routine on the floor, Auburn needs a perfect 10 to tie. And they get it. Darian Goburn gets a perfect 10 to tie the meet.
There should have been.
It sounded like a basketball game in there.
There should have been two more tens before that one. I actually spoke with someone that was a gymnast after that, and they were completely baffled why both Suni and Sophia Groth did not get tens for their full routines. And I even think that Darian, she had one little slip on one of her flips, and they still gave her a 10.
Yeah.
Whereas she's perfectly executed that before, and they hadn't given her a 10 before at a few of the meets. So
it's a weird sport when it comes
rigged,
down to judges.
The whole sport's rigged. Sport's rigged.
It's rigged, but we're also amazing at it. So, oh well.
Well, yeah, and it's, I don't know. We were having some discussions while we were there. Like, it's kind of stupid because there are no scores below a 9. So it's really a 10-point scale from 9 to 10.
So right. If you went out there and fell on your face, you'd get a 9?
More or less. Like
Somebody did fall and got a 9.2, yep. I believe. Something like that.
I was talking to that girl that used to be a gymnast, and she said, yeah, that's pretty much true. She was like, I mean, you might get an 8 something if you, like, couldn't finish your routine. So it's odd. It's a weird scoring the way they do things. Like, and Suni is clearly better than literally everyone else out there. Yeah. And
Florida had two Olympics on the team, and Suni still was head and shoulders above everybody.
Right. And so if you're really scoring, Suni would be getting, you know, 9s, and other people getting 7s and 8s right. And stuff. They don't score like that. But it is
program record score for Auburn in the tie. They don't get the SEC championship, but these two teams put on a show. It was the fourth highest individual scores ever in college. And they each had that, which means it's the highest combined score ever by a considerable margin.
Yeah. This was a show. And actually, if you have the SEC network on your cable subscription and you have the ESPN app on your Apple TV, you can rewatch this meet on demand. And it's a good mid-afternoon thing if you're working from home. Have that on the background. Recommend it.
Yeah, I don't regret buying season tickets. I was only able to make it out to a couple of meets in person this year, but I'll probably be buying tickets again next year as long as they're not astronomical in price, because it's fun. It's a good time, just a good hang.
They sell Coors Light at the arena yet?
They don't. Hoping, fingers crossed for next year, right? But we got a regional coming up here, and I'm hoping I can score some tickets to that. Who knows what the NCAA charges for that. So.
Well, the only issue with the regional is that it's Final Four weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, never mind.
Yeah, how into the gymnastics are you, Chief?
It seems like these are, like, really good things to do on Friday nights in Auburn before big basketball games.
That's great.
You know, I know there have been some big meets on Friday nights before home games.
That's the way they scheduled it this year. Was they generally brought them in Friday nights before basketball games, so you could kind of make it a big event, kind of like soccer did Friday nights before or Sundays after big football games in the fall.
It beats the heck out of just driving out in the woods and setting a fire to a bunch of pallets like I used to do in college all the time. That's what we did on Friday nights.
Have any of you guys interacted with any big time gymnastics people on Twitter?
No.
Oh yeah, they're awful. And I'm not. There's not that many that are from Auburn, so
there's a lot of gatekeeping going on. I'm imagining where it's like, oh, you didn't care about this 300 years ago.
Hating,
so
all the new money Auburn gymnastics people.
Right. So it's funny. I mentioned this to Ryan on Friday. Apparently, like when you go to other schools, like both team, like this crowd cheers for both teams and stuff like that. And of course, Auburn's cheering for it like a real event. At least there's not real boos and like stuff for the other team, but they're not cheering for them, definitely. Right. And it's
the judges did 100% get booed in this.
Oh yeah, yes they did. Pretty funny. More than once.
I just remember seeing all the outrage on Friday night on Twitter about it, and you know, going back to the 10 that Darian got, you guys were talking about, I'm thinking if she would have lost, if Auburn would have lost that meet by like a hundredth of a point or whatever because she didn't get a 10, imagine the outrage on Twitter and all outrage from Auburn fans that would have caused.
It's people are funny when it comes to things they like. Like, I know friends who are massive Premier League soccer fans.
Sure.
That I always laugh at because I always think that they actually don't want soccer to get good in the United States because they actually just like having their little thing that only they care about.
Yeah. And so they're smart. That makes them smart.
Right. They laugh when the U.S. men's national team doesn't win, even though it's their country. And like you would think, but shouldn't you want your thing to be popular in your country? But actually, they don't. They secretly.
Commies.
They actually would rather it not be big so it can be their thing.
And so I basically think, Kentucky basketball fans at the SEC basketball.
I think that's different, Will. I think
did I say that? Okay. Oops.
I think that's different. I think that's more of a – they don't know – Kentucky basketball fans have been used to being catered to and being the only thing keeping the conference afloat.
Right, and they don't understand.
They don't have a clue what this is like. This
they don't
is,
get it.
They are they are to the SEC what LeBron's Cavs team were to the East for so long, where it's like, well, there's just this one team, and everybody else is pretty trash. But then all of a sudden, like, when the East gets really good, like right now, it'd be weird to be like, oh, yeah, it's just the Cavs and everybody else. Like, no, the Cavs are like the sixth seed right now. Like, there are a lot of good teams in the East, and there's a ton of good teams in the SEC. I actually don't know. I can't think of a time in which the SEC was better top to bottom in basketball than it currently is. And Kentucky has to feel weird about that because it's like it is no longer – they're no longer the Gonzaga of this conference where it's like we got this one team and then we might get another seed. We might get one more bid. I think there was a year there when Auburn was dreadful at basketball that I feel like the SEC may have only gotten three or four tournament – maybe three tournament teams.
Yeah, I think three was sort of the average there for a while.
Like one of the Florida years where they won the title, I want to say that it was like Kentucky, Florida, and like maybe a Bruce Pearl Tennessee team got in, and that was it.
Yeah.
Sorry, right now, the SEC is looking at six teams.
Six.
And that was with several bubble teams falling out of contention.
I mean, if Texas A&M were to win three games, they could go in.
A&M probably.
No, they're out.
No.
They needed to be
Florida is the bubble team that could make it in, and that's with a win over Auburn. They're, I think, in the next four out right now, but if they got another major win, maybe they sneak in. It's crazy. It is interesting that Auburn basically skipped the bubble team part of building a program. You know, we went from no tournaments in, 15, 20 years to...
Winning the conference.
Okay, win the conference, make the Final Four as a 5 seed, and then basically probably would have been a 2 seed in the COVID year. We've never had to go into...
Would we? I don't know. You keep talking about how great we would have been that COVID year, but we were...
We struggled down the stretch, but we were 24-7. We were 24-7, 2 seed in the SEC.
Okay.
You're talking about the Okoro year or the Sharif year?
Yeah, the Okoro year.
We could have won a couple of games in the tournament, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah, that's a second weekend team at least.
Yeah, I think that's a 3 or 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. That was
depending on how the SEC tournament plays out.
You talk to some people on Auburn Twitter, it's like that's a guaranteed SEC championship team. Like they're going to win the conference tournament.
Brian said that a few times, man.
Okoro would have been the conference tournament MVP. I don't have any doubt about that.
I think, too, you got to remember Isaac got hurt in the Alabama game and missed like a couple weeks, and that really stalled his momentum down the stretch.
That did.
Didn't it?
Didn't we lose three of our last five, though?
I think we were.
Yeah, we lost to Missouri. We lost to Georgia. We lost to A&M at home. And then we had beaten Tennessee.
Oh, that A&M game was so annoying.
Tennessee twice.
Oh, yeah.
The A&M game was the one that Buzz Williams was like basically.
Oh yeah, in
holding the guy's hand, shooting free throws.
At the free throw line, all right.
It was like an upward basketball coach. He was so far on the court. Speaking of basketball, last week Auburn, we called it on this podcast. We were the only podcast that Auburn has that not only told you what time and what channel these games were going to be on, but called it unanimous. Auburn was going to go 2-0, and they did. So it's Venmo at Santa Crow on Venmo. I'll collect my winnings. Auburn beat Mississippi State 81-68. Feels like a blowout. Actually, it was an overtime. That game was real close there for a bit. In the four factors, Auburn, it should not have been as close as it was, because in the four factors, Auburn won 3 out of 4. It helps when you make 20 points in overtime. Auburn,
KD time.
Auburn shot 54% effective field goal percentage. It is laughable that we went to overtime turning the ball over only 17% of the time. And getting to the free throw line as well as we did. We could not rebound for the life of us, though. In Mississippi State, that was it. Mississippi State out-rebounded us on the offensive glass 44% to 17%.
It is really weird. We started the game out rebounding really well.
We've been rebounding really well in conference play. This is the last 2 weeks. It's been like, well, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah, after last Saturday, the Tennessee game was 50-50 on our defensive end, their offensive end. Then going, letting Mississippi State be 44%.
And I'm not good enough schematics coach to know if there's something that Tennessee did that everyone's copying now. But it's not that complicated of a sport where there's like some fancy defensive coverage they threw out.
Missed threes by a lot.
Yeah.
That's what Tennessee did.
I just think Tennessee had a lot of missed threes and a lot of long offensive rebounds, that there was a lot of 50-50 balls. And quite frankly, Tennessee got to more of them than we did.
Yeah. Mississippi State copied that missing a lot of threes strategy, though.
They didn't make one.
Mississippi State, that is overtime. The only thing that would have been worse than winning this game in overtime is losing a game in 2022 to a team that makes zero threes. It would be, in my opinion, tantamount to losing to like Georgia State or Georgia Southern in football, coming in and not throwing one pass.
A good way to win in overtime, though, is to score 20 points.
Score 20 points. Also, a good way is to have your best player go 9 for 13 from the field.
Yep.
I mean, I would rather him go 18 for 26, to be 100% honest with you. But he had 27 points and 10 rebounds.
Wiley going off a couple years ago, and it was, oh man, he's his points per shot is insane. It's up over 1.5, close to 2. And it was because he was taking so many free throws. Basically, it was attempting a three, air quotes, every time we shot the ball. Jabari was over 2 in this game. 27 points on 13 shots.
It's unbelievable.
Absurd.
So Jabari is an incredibly efficient player, and what's unique about that, he's an incredibly efficient forward that doesn't get a lot of putbacks.
Yeah, he's not in the paint at all.
Most of the time, like Wiley.
Had 3 dunks in this game.
It's true. Wiley's efficiency ratings were always crazy high because he was getting offensive rebounds and then dunking them.
He's taking the highest percentage shots you could possibly.
That is as efficient as it can get. And then, whereas Jabari doesn't have to do that, yet he is still one of our most efficient players.
It's wild.
I mean, America's, not just Auburn's. Yes.
The free world.
Yeah.
I think the biggest takeaway from that game for me from a Jabari perspective was, I feel like he took the ball into the paint more and finished at the rim more than we had seen most of the year. There was a play in the first half that he did that, and then in overtime to finish the game, he took the ball in the paint, had that dunk at the very end of the game, and Zepp Jasper was all of us jumping up and down like 10-year-olds, which was great. But that was one big takeaway for me from that game was Jabari's just a willingness to go to the paint and take the ball in and finish at the rim, and I'm kind of sitting here thinking, kind of wish I'd seen this all year, but if he starts doing this now as we get ready for tournament time, that's huge for Auburn.
Mississippi State did had an interesting strategy with Jabari. I wanted to point that out on the pod, where South Carolina had the correct strategy with Jabari, which is just
foul the hell out of him.
Yeah, beat him up the whole time on the court. if he doesn't get the ball cleanly, he can't score.
Yeah, drape yourself on top of him.
And
Daryl to call fouls the whole game.
There, Mississippi State's was, we're going to defend him really close, but we're going to defend him keeping him away from the elbow.
which is fine because that's like his best shot.
Yeah, he loves to get there.
But by doing that, they were saying the baseline's open.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was very weird.
I think we must have his willingness, because he got that first dunk pretty early in the game, if I recall correctly. And I think we had identified, because I identified it almost immediately after the game started. They're just leaving the lane. Lane was just wide open. Like, it was one dude on Walker, and there's nobody else down in the lane. And, I mean, if Isaac Okoro had been playing in this game, he would have had 37 dunks, and we would have won by 100 points.
Like, I mean, they were doing their best to keep him from his spots.
Right.
But they were, like, I mean,
there's no way he'll do anything else.
I've been to a few basketball practices in my life, and at no point have I ever heard a coach say, don't cover the baseline. Like, it's never been, like, every coach in the history of basketball will tell you, do not give up the baseline. Like, that's the easiest path to the basket. Whereas, like, because they want you, you want to, on defense, drive them where the rest of your help is. So the middle of the court, like the free throw line area, is kind of where you want most guys to go, because you've got guards up there and you've got other posts. If they go to your right, if you're facing the stands, and go baseline on you, it's just them in the rim at that point.
Yeah. I don't know if it was I wonder if the reason Walker was not that super effective in this game is because, like, his man just never left him. Like, he was on him the whole time.
He was guarding when he got off the bench.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State has the size to kind of neutralize Walker. With Tolu Smith was awesome in this game.
He is really good.
Yeah, he's great. But I think deciding, okay, we're not going to let Walker get his points is really what allowed Jabari to have three dunks in a game and for KD to just tear them apart in overtime.
KD Johnson, from the end of regulation in the Mississippi State game to the end of regulation in the South Carolina game, has been good KD Johnson again. Yeah. Like, it's something woke up in him. Maybe it was a certain rock in Japan that burst forth. I saw on Twitter there's a rock in Japan that's broken open, and now a demon that was supposed to be living in this rock.
Apparently a 9-tailed vixen demon was contained. Her soul was contained in this rock.
Thousands of years?
Yep. And one morning, it was discovered to be shattered in half. So game on, boys.
Yeah, KD Johnson took that to heart and destroyed Mississippi State, maybe with the power of the 9-tailed fox. And then went on a tear against South Carolina. So let's talk a little bit about that after we mentioned that against Mississippi State, the most important thing that happened was Auburn won the game.
Yeah.
Which meant that Auburn clinched a share of the SEC title, meaning that no matter what happened on Saturday, Auburn's SEC champs. Now, would it have been super awkward to lose that game and then cut the nets down afterwards? Absolutely. Totally awkward.
Yeah, there was a somewhat similar situation. There was no net cutting involved, but that happened on Saturday as well for another team, unfortunately.
Sorry there, Will.
I was really going to talk about that, but sure.
It's one of the most ironic things in the history of collegiate sports.
You were watching at home. You missed most of that anyways, so.
Yeah.
All right, so Auburn beat South Carolina 82-71, which clinched an outright conference title for the fourth time in 5 years. Auburn has won.
Now, state title.
I
third time.
I have a
third
problem time with this, guys. I have a true confession. I have a problem equating the conference title and the conference tournament title, because I don't think the tournament title is as big of a deal as the conference title.
I mean, it's still a big deal. I mean, you still hang a banner for it.
Still hang a banner. You still get rings. And all
you get an automatic bid. So. Yeah.
But this is a harder thing to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
sure.
Definitely harder. It was funny to see some Kentucky people acting like it was no big deal on Saturday after we did this.
That's because don't look now. Kentucky has only won one regular season conference title in 4 years.
Okay, yeah.
Because we've won it, LSU has won it, and Alabama has won it.
Oh, man. Man.
Kentucky can't catch a break, you guys.
No, they really can't. I mean, it's way more impressive. I don't know if I caught harder.
You got to be good all year. You can't just catch fire. Yeah, you got to win 20 games.
Right. It's a different sort of difficulty. Winning a tournament is harder just because you have to be on.
How many conference games did Auburn have to win this year? 16? 17?
15
conference games.
15 got done.
Yeah.
That used to get you in the tournament almost.
And, you know, we were talking earlier about –
You win 15 conference games, you're in the tournament.
Yeah.
You win 15 games, period, used to get you in the tournament. Now you got to win those plus.
You know, we were talking earlier about SEC only getting like three teams in the tournament. Now it's like six, seven teams. And for a league as good as it's been from top to bottom, for Auburn to win this league, I think that's an incredible accomplishment for them. Especially with, you know, you had Arkansas, Tennessee, and Kentucky right there nipping at Auburn's heels at the very end, and the four teams combined lost one home game this year.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people were panicking about losing road games, but man, I tell you, winning on the road's hard.
And anywhere none of them beat the others on the road.
Nope.
Yep.
Auburn's the only team in the SEC that won six road games.
Yep.
So sure that was the difference.
Yeah. This was an impressive run. I mean, we won it outright in a year where the conference is really good. I mean, just if you look at KenPom, like Kentucky's, what are they, four or three?
Right. At this point, KenPom, Kentucky is number three.
Yeah. So, and then Tennessee's top 10.
LSU's been top 15
at this point. At the end of the regular season, it's Kentucky 3, Auburn 7. Tennessee 12, LSU 17, Arkansas 19, Alabama 22.
I mean, that's crazy. And we beat all those teams except for Tennessee, which we may get a shot
at. Is our best road win this year in Coleman?
I think it's one of them, definitely.
Yeah. It was a good road win.
By KenPom, it's got to be, right?
Yeah, by KenPom, that's the best road win.
Yeah, because we didn't play it in Baton Rouge.
Right.
I love that. I love that our best road wins up there.
That's perfect.
It was one of our easier road wins too.
Yeah.
Wasn't it their only home?
No, that was the one where we
compared rushed. To Alabama or compared to the Georgia Missouri games.
Yeah. Well, Auburn was up 14. Alabama went on a 14-0 run, and Auburn had to grind. And Flanagan hit four three throws at the end.
Yeah.
So, I feel like the last like month and a half of road games has not been easy at all. The easiest road game I can think of was probably, Ryan, one that you and I went to at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And Auburn was down double digits early in that game. So, you know.
What I think we're learning in this year's Auburn season is a lesson that I think college basketball is about 3 or 4 years behind the NBA learning. Because the NBA, this is now like the case in the NBA. A 20-point lead is nothing.
Yeah.
A 20-point lead is not... Turn the TV off. This game's over. Because
that's like a 2-touchdown lead.
You can get 20 points back like that.
So here's the thing. I think that's true for a lot of teams. Luckily, Auburn has not faced that situation very much. Because
no, Auburn had been down 20.
Auburn would have a little bit of a trouble coming back from a 20-point deficit.
I would like to see
Auburn's
the team.
Auburn's had some first-half deficits that is then turned on the defensive clamps and just said, okay, you're not going to score for the next 8 minutes. We'll see what we can get.
That's the thing. I think Auburn's defense is so good. I don't know if there is a team that would put Auburn like a 25-point hole. Like, I don't know who, like the Nets. Like I don't know who that team is.
Yeah. So I mean, we lost how many games? Five.
Four.
Four. So we lost four games. Not a single one of them. Actually, all totaled together, I don't think they come up to be more than 15 points total.
Let's see, 16 points. But, I mean, there's three overtime periods involved in that. So.
Yeah. I mean, so it's crazy. Like, this Auburn team, yeah, we lost some games, but None of them were by double digits. None of them were to bad teams.
Yeah, so, three ranked teams, and then Florida on the road. I mean, that's always a good team.
And we don't play well there.
Katie Johnson in this game had 18 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. Jabari was 5 for 12 from the field, but 21 points and 6 rebounds and 2 assists. 2 amazing assists.
Yeah, Jabari in this game did everything. It was a show from Jabari in his last game. He did a little bit of everything that he can do.
Yeah.
And I
only hit the one bucket in the second half on a 4-point play. That was pretty early in the second half. Yeah. But
that shot, that was a great shot to go out on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was beautiful, dude. This guy's shot, it's the best shot I've ever seen in person.
He's a better – I said this during the game. He's a better shooter than Bryce Brown.
Yeah.
And he's 6'10".
Yeah.
If Jabari's 6'5", he's a two-guard. Like, nothing else about his game.
I think he could be a two-guard now.
If he could, if he got a little more of a handle, he could play whatever position he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was 3 of 3 from 3 and 8 of 8 from the three-throw line in the game, too. So, that's...
If you remember, if you can imagine for a second, if you will, if Jabari stuck around for 3 years. Like, if you remember, Bryce Brown did not have great handle.
That's true.
So... I mean, imagine he'll just go to the NBA and work on it. So it's right.
He'll pay some dribble coach $100,000 next year to teach him how to dribble the basketball better.
And man,
he's gonna have Cade Cunningham as his point guard.
Right,
it's gonna be a monstrous lineup.
Oh,
or have LaMelo Ball throwing him oops.
Oh my God!
All right, so Jabari. I mean, you can't ask for anything better. And you know who else had an unbelievable sneaky game? Is your boy Wendell Green Jr.
Who, yeah, pretty good game.
Yeah.
Pretty good game. I mean, 7 assists, 0 turnovers.
Yeah.
That's pretty perfect. I don't know if I could ask for better than that. Like,
all the guards played really well in this game.
Yeah. I thought Zepp had a good game too. Yeah.
If we get
good defense,
get
a couple threes.
If you get this game from Wendell Green Jr., 10 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 0 turnovers.
That's all you need from him.
That's perfect basketball for Wendell Green. And confident ball handling, getting the ball across half court with authority, with a purpose, moving it, keeping the ball in motion, not dribbling for no reason. He had a really good game. More of that.
And I think you've seen Zepp Jasper's offense get better, and he's been more involved, and it's like he's got a really good 3-point shot.
Yeah, he really does.
It's crazy to think he's like, where has this been all year? You know, but you know, we saw glimpses of that at the end of his Charleston career, and he's like, oh, he had a really good run. Then he comes to Auburn, and everybody's like, why is everybody freaking out about a guy that has 5 points a game? Well, he's great defensively, but oh yeah, he's pretty good at offense too when he wants to be. So.
Well, and the thing about Zepp and Wendell and KD in this game is there wasn't a stretch of the game where they forgot they had the best player in college basketball on their team. And they haven't had that since Tennessee, where they've just seemed like they kind of spaced and forgot that, oh, wait a minute, we got 10. We can relax a little bit and give him the rock because he can carry a team and carry a program.
I'm wondering if we see more of that three-guard lineup. We've seen it the last couple of games now with Zeb, Wendell, and Katie all on the floor together. And that with the playmaking ability that Wynn has, that opens up a lot of shots for Zeb. And that was used some here in this game. I think we will probably see that more in the postseason.
All right, let's quickly talk about postseason basketball. Ryan, I'm going to go off book here, or I'm going to rearrange the show notes here. I'm going SEC tournament next, and then I'm going to go with the game after that.
Right.
So Auburn's going to either play A&M or Florida in the third round because we've got the double bye. We'll preview that next week.
I hate the...
Well, we... No. Not next week.
We'll preview...
I hate to go ahead and say we're going to preview A&M or Florida. We've seen both of those teams this year. We know what we're looking at.
We'd rather be playing A&M than Florida, but...
Right.
Yeah, Urban's
pretty good right now, but yeah, I agree.
I don't want anything to do with Florida again. It just Castleton is a good, the one guy in this tournament that could give Walker a lot of issues, I think, and has done so twice now. Especially with Walker's shoulder being questionable, I guess he did play a lot better on Saturday, I thought.
What channel is that game on, Ryan?
I believe that's an ESPN game at noon on Friday.
On Friday, so
11 a.m. Friday. Sorry, noon Eastern.
11 a.m. Central Friday. Auburn play either Texas A&M or Florida. You will probably be able to hear a podcast hosted by at least one of us at the conclusion of that game, talking to you about what just happened. Either it's going to be we won, we lost, or we won by a million. And
we don't play until Saturday.
Friday night, Friday at 11 on ESPN.
Okay.
And I might do a Twitter space Friday morning. Who knows? We'll just see how I'm feeling. So maybe we'll do that.
I think the thing that to look out for in the A&M Florida game, because personally I think that's just – obviously it's a loser, leaves the bubble completely. But whoever wins that game and plays Auburn, you know, even if it's A&M, you know, that's a huge opportunity for both of those teams to get a huge win before trying to make their way into the NCAA tournament. So there's a lot to play for whoever Auburn plays, and obviously a lot for Auburn to play for still with the one seed conversation. So
yeah, both of those teams have to beat Auburn to make the tournament.
I mean, absolutely.
Lose that game, they're probably both in the NIT.
And this game is in Amalie Arena. Amalie?
Amalie.
Amalie. In Tampa, Florida, where Auburn is 1-0. And I'd like to keep it that way this year.
Didn't we only score about 50 points last time?
Yeah, we won that game 58-52 with an Adidas ball, I may add.
Yeah.
And, that was an ugly shooting game. It was very ugly.
We're back. We'll have the same amount of experience as either one of the teams that we could play in there, since we've already played in there once, so that's good.
To get a one seed overall, though, Auburn doesn't have to win the whole thing. I feel like they're a one seed if they just win a game.
There's a lot up in the air.
Yeah.
If Auburn wins the tournament, they are a one seed.
Sure.
No questions asked.
Yeah.
Hands down.
I think Kentucky is probably in the same boat. If Kentucky wins the SEC tournament, they're probably a one seed in place of Auburn. Now, if Tennessee or Arkansas wins it, or anybody else, then it's kind of up in the air. It also depends on what happens in the Big 12 with Kansas and Baylor. Baylor probably already locked up a one seed. If they beat Kansas.
I'm going to be 100% with you guys. I hope Auburn wins it. But if we don't win it, I hope LSU wins it just for the narrative.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think it'd be hysterical. Just absolutely hysterical for them.
South Carolina, I want Georgia to win it. I really want Georgia to win that bad boy if we don't win it.
Oh, my God.
Can't fire Tom Crean if he wins the conference.
Makes the tournament.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't they do that once with Dennis Felton where they finished dead last in 08 and then the year that the tornado went through the Georgia Dome?
Yep.
It went all the way through? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's happened before, so.
Auburn almost did it a few years back, remember? With
KT Harrell.
KT.
All right, so let's go with this game. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and play a little game.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. 37 minutes, 50 seconds into this podcast. Guys, what is your lasting image of this regular season? For me, the lasting image of this regular season is still Walter Kessler wearing a bucket hat in the Bahamas. I feel like that kind of set off the whole like vibe of this team.
You really want him to be named Walter, don't you?
Yeah, I keep calling him Walter Kessler. Walker Kessler.
That's a good one.
His brother, Walter, keeps getting shout-outs.
I think for me, it's just I've been fortunate to be able to travel and see Auburn play several times in several different venues, and just the Auburn support on the road has been incredible in Tampa and St. Louis, and then you know especially in Oxford when you know Ryan and James Jones were there. Like we took over the pavilion that night, and it was a lot of fun. But and then Arkansas and Tennessee were great. You know, I know we didn't win those games, but those were fun atmospheres to be a part of. So just knowing that, you know, Auburn, you know, when Auburn's going on the road, they've had the fan support and they're getting everybody's best shot. So that's my lasting image of this season. It's just been so much fun to follow this team around the Southeast.
I was going to ask you, Will, what do you think the best road environment for Auburn, or not road environment, I guess, but best Auburn traveling crowd has been? At least for road games you've been to, because you've been to, what, four road SEC games for Auburn?
Well, this year I did five. Okay. Ole Miss was probably the best one. Tennessee had a lot of people there, but I would say Ole Miss probably had the most, at least at the games that I was at.
Right.
I know there was
some because in Athens it was a big Auburn crowd as well. But
there was a lot of people in Knoxville. Last Saturday, because there's a lot of people like myself that live in Tennessee, so it's a home game for us. But which I wish the SEC tournament was here this year in Nashville, but it's not.
Yeah, me too.
Not that I'm not bitter about it, because I'm very bitter about it. It's not here. I've lived up here for 2.5 years, and I've still never been to an SEC tournament here. So, yeah. Anyway,
it's an easier drive for us from here too, though.
Yeah.
Not bitter at all about that. But
Tampa's not close for anybody except for Florida. I don't really understand. It's kind of like when we did St. Louis a couple years ago.
There's a lot of Auburn alum in Tampa, though.
Yeah. Do we have an explanation as to why they did it? I know there's some sort of bidding process, but it's going back to Nashville for like the next 5 years at least,
right? Is it Gasparilla this weekend?
Every fourth season is not in Nashville. Isn't that right, Will?
Yeah. So every fourth year, they try to give it to they give it to somebody else for a year. I know they've been in St. Louis.
I bet Dallas will get involved when Texas and Oklahoma come in.
I have a feeling in 26 it'll be in Fort Worth. Yeah.
It should be in Birmingham where the SEC offices are.
Well, now that Legacy Arena has been renovated, I know they're hosting the NCAA tournament next year, so maybe Birmingham could get back involved. But I wish it would just be in Nashville every year. I know – You know, the Big East
I wish it was in Fort Worth every year, Will.
I mean, it should be in Nashville every year.
I'm not saying that.
It should be home sites all the way through.
It should be at home sites.
Home sites.
Bring it to Auburn Arena.
That'd be incredible. The one seed gets to play home games every day. I would love that.
That'd be incredible. I mean, all the other sports do home site things, right?
They should play it at least once.
Wait, which ones do?
The Pelicans.
Baseball? Arena. Softball?
No.
Softball rotation.
The SEC tournament? Well, none of these do.
That's right. Not the SEC tournament.
Baseball's in Hoover every year.
There's regionals. That's what I'm thinking of.
Soccer's in Gulf Shores. Football's in Atlanta.
I'm surprised we don't just play it at State Farm in Atlanta every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, soccer's moving to Pensacola, actually. Or Gulf Breeze. So.
That's right.
I really
still down there, but yeah.
I mean, I don't know why the offices are in Birmingham.
You know why they're in Birmingham. You know exactly why they're in Birmingham.
But since they are, why are we not doing it in Birmingham?
Well, because for the longest time there was nowhere to play at Birmingham.
They played NCAA regionals at the BJCC all the time. Like, I don't know.
They played the Iron Bowl in Legion Field.
It's true. I mean, I saw North Carolina and Tennessee and Stanford all play in a regional there at Legacy or BJCC.
See, they should play it in Atlanta where the Hawks play.
Yeah, it should be in
Atlanta. And it should be there because it's got NBA concessions, Chief.
Well,
you could also put it in Memphis in the Grizzly Stadium. I mean,
well, they did have it in Memphis.
Play it in the Bass Pro.
They had it at the old pyramid up there a long time ago.
Which is now a Bass Pro.
That's actually close to a lot of SEC schools, so.
That's true. Memphis would be the closest place. The University of Memphis would probably get mad about that. But who cares?
Probably.
I mean, they used to play their conference tournament in their home building at the FedEx Forum for a few years. So,
the FedEx Forum's pretty good. It's a pretty good arena as far as NBA arenas go.
Yeah. I want to go see Ja play before the season's over.
I mean, it's as good as that hockey arena they got in Nashville. Like, at least it's a basketball arena. Like, they're all multi-purpose, but there are some that you know are multi-purpose skewed more towards one than the other. Like,
yeah, it would be nice.
Dickies in Fort Worth, everyone who I know who's gone has told me it's a great arena. It's brand new, but it's a rodeo arena. Like, it's a really sweet, brand new indoor rodeo arena, but it's not even really built for rodeo. It's built for the concerts that come to the rodeo. So it's really made for, like, watching a show even more than a basketball game.
I think you can't have it at, like, State Farm because of the capacity. They was too small for what they want to do, I think. I don't know if it's – if Bridgestone's any bigger, but I kind of think it is.
State Farm is 21,000.
Okay,
and you'll have some NCAA tournament basketball there next week, Crow, at Fort Worth. So
I know. I'm actually, my brother and I talked about going to see it, just because I want to go to Dickies. I want to see what a rodeo arena slash basketball slash concert venue is, named after a workwear brand. It's the most Fort Worth thing in the world. Probably have a live cattle outside of it.
I just we should ban all basketball and football stadiums, though.
I agree. I would rather them charge $1 million a ticket to go to the Final Four and have it in an NBA arena than have it in the Superdome.
Or yeah,
or U.S. Bank or wherever. Yeah, at least they've gone away from doing that at regionals. That used to be the worst.
Like, nobody was there.
Yeah, it was awful. So at least at least those are in NBA arenas.
That was always an issue with the SEC tournament in the Georgia Dome. Like, they close off half the Georgia Dome, and so, like, there's just this big black curtain on one side of the stadium, on one side of the court, and then it the seats were never actually all the way filled. It was weird.
You should go look at
We should have it in the World Congress Center, kind of like how we have tournaments in the Bahamas.
Yeah,
Google photo search, like, what the courts looked like when it was at Jerry World versus what it looked like when it was at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. Because the Alamo Dome is just a big giant box.
Right.
There's not a good seat in the house. Much less it's horrible. It's a horrible venue. No, whereas Jerry World is made to watch stuff, but it's not made to watch basketball.
Yeah, basketball.
All right, Chief,
as somebody that, you and I went to all the home games this year, so what was your lasting impression or lasting image? What are you going to think of about Auburn Arena from this season? Obviously, the postseason,
we
a lot about that.
Things to come. I mean, it's all Jabari. From his he had a pregame ritual where he would go down and, like, bump the thing the backboard's on, whatever he called it, stanchion, I guess. He'd go and bump it and say a prayer or whatever he was doing, and before every game did the same thing. And then just, I mean, the shots that dude made in the arena, I'll never see anything like that again. It's just been great. It's been magical, even. Like, the guy is something else. And we've been blessed to see a lot of guys that are very talented that, it kind of feels like maybe we wouldn't see another Isaac Okoro again, too, because that guy's just really good at what he did. But yeah, it's Jabari. It's every shot that guy took is burned into my image. Burned as an image in my brain.
So I never got to see Cam in person.
You weren't born yet.
Is this
bummer?
Close enough. Yeah. Was this like that? You're seeing a maybe not quite a generational talent, but one of the best. I mean, for Auburn, definitely a generational talent.
No, it is not like that. Because Cam, I mean, Cam is like a one of one, like for forever at any level, he's a one of one. Like, he's just, you don't see that size, that mobility, the skill that he had, and just maybe we'll see it again one day. It's just it's a long way off, and it'll be just as special if we do. Jabari, I still think you can watch Jabari and not get it. You could not do that with Cam. Like, you could, if you watched Cam, you knew. With Jabari, I think most people get it, but I still think you could watch it and be like, I mean, he's okay. Like, whatever. I mean, that great shot. You can shoot well, but what is it? What else?
Early in the season, I remember we all knew the talent was there, but like, the shots weren't falling early, especially the threes. And it's crazy to think now, it's like, oh, this guy's a 44% shooter from three on the year.
Yeah.
And I think through his first four or five games, he was 25%. I remember there was a game I sat down with you early in the season where it may have even been the home opener or the scrimmage where it looked like he had gotten hurt. He was on the ground, kind of holding his knee. Took him a minute to get up and get off the court. And for a brief second, I thought, oh, that's it. It's already over. as bad of luck as we've had the last couple of years, just building on that again. There's a lot of plays throughout this year, though, that, I mean, there's the Devin Cambridge dunk against Kentucky where you kind of knew the game was over at that point.
Yeah.
Talked about that as being like the loudest Auburn Arena has ever been.
Yeah.
I remember Dylan Cardwell about punching out a ref, getting so excited. Yes. That's one of those where it didn't mean that much.
That's when we were in the holiday bleachers and he like just bodied a ref.
Yeah.
I don't know how he did not get teed up. Good grief.
And then, of course, for me, all the Peacock stuff is going to be special.
Sure.
We didn't talk about it, but the Peacock Party theme.
That's so incredible.
NBC sponsored. I wish I had known about it ahead of time, but we walk in the arena and it's like Peacock, the streaming service, is handing out shirts and cutouts. And they had like Cameo. They're in-house.
It did look like a Cameo.
Right.
But one of them was the fake Fresh Prince, and he
I've heard good things about the new Fresh Prince show.
Specific to like, oh, I'm cheering for Auburn, go Tigers.
He talked about Jabari, though. He was like, wanting to watch Jabari.
After that one, Meredith from The Office comes on. Kate Flannery did a bit talking about Auburn. I had no idea any of that was coming, and that – I mean, my sister was standing next to me. She can probably describe the look of my face better than I can.
It was really funny.
It was wild.
You got to be the celebrity R at a basketball game.
Celebrity R. You know, me and Carnell kind of sharing the same space. But
incredible.
It could have only been better if it was Creed up there.
Creed
instead of Meredith.
Just riding into his Creed.
If they had gotten anybody from Parks and Rec to be on there,
I really like, I'm just so happy for Ryan. Like, that's kind of what I think about most with this season, is just how crazy it's been for you and for the site, and how we just continue to luck into taste making Auburn basketball fan.
That's right. It was funny. Ryan and I went to see the Batman with our buddy Gulson on a Thursday, and while I was waiting in line there, Ryan wasn't there yet, and the guy, I was wearing my Peacock shirt from home field, and the guy was like, where'd you get that shirt?
Homefieldapparel.com.
It crossed my mind to say, the Peacock guy's gonna be here in a minute,
promo code.
But I've had I guess I'll also remember all the people asking me about the various home field shirts that I've worn to games this year. Like, where'd you get that shirt? And I'm like, home field. Because when they ask, it's like they know that they've seen it. It's a cool shirt. They kind of know it's a home field shirt, but they're still asking me where I got it, which is kind of funny to me. I don't know.
Maybe they're just hitting on Chief.
Maybe. One was a lady before this previous game because I wore my jumping tiger.
The Everett Conker shirt?
Yeah. I wore that one to the game this weekend.
A classic choice.
Did anyone buy a SEC championship shirt? because I sure didn't, and they're all sold out.
Oh, no.
Oh, really? Yeah. I noticed there was a line in the arena at the end of the game for them.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on a national champions bucket hat.
Well, the peacock way is to not buy anything until we cut the nets down in New Orleans.
No, we still want a championship.
If it's banner worthy, you can buy it.
Yeah.
Buy it all at the end.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm waiting till the end as well.
Well, go back and buy all of them. Yeah. They probably won't have all the sizes by the time.
The Hit It Sports over there by the Walmart in Opelika will have.
I don't know if that's there anymore.
Oh, man.
Alumni Hall normally will get shipments in later in the year with that kind of stuff.
I hope.
Tiger Rags will have it.
Tiger Rags doesn't have a
storefront.
Yeah, they don't have a storefront anymore, dog.
There's a print shop now. I did buy a Tampa Auburn Club SEC Tournament shirt.
That's cool.
They put some peacocks in the design, so I got to pick that up next weekend.
I used to have a really sweet Rocky Mountain Auburn Club t-shirt that I miss. That shirt ruled. And shout out to the Rocky Mountain Auburn Club. That's a good group of people if you're ever in the Denver area on a game day.
You're talking about Auburn Club. I'm really excited to see how many people from the Tampa Auburn Club fill up Emily this weekend.
That's a big group.
They put on a pretty good little deal when we played down there in the Outback Bowl in 2014, I guess. It's a nice little shindig for New Year's Eve. So,
all right, guys. Here's to winning an SEC championship again this week.
Yeah, we're going to beat Florida/A&M and then beat, Arkansas?
Wait, we're playing Florida A&M?
Florida/A&M. The Rattlers.
I mean, we could beat the bench score this weekend, you know. Could get Florida, Arkansas, and Tennessee. We'll see.
A little bit of a revenge tour would be nice.
It would be, it'd be so sweet. And you know what? I don't want to play Kentucky again all year and win a national championship just so they'll be super salty because they think that they could have beaten us.
I hope they're in our bracket in the NCAA tournament.
And they lose?
They end up losing before we get to them.
Yes, that's absolutely what I would love.
Same with Alabama. I've seen a couple where they're like the 5 seed in our region. Yeah. Let them build that up in their head and then I hope
Alabama loses in the first round of the conference tournament and then all of a sudden it's like an 8 or 9 and loses an 8-9 matchup.
I hope every team in this conference loses in the first round of the tournament.
That's what I'm talking about, Chief. That's what I'm talking about. And LSU with Bill Wade. I always think it's hilarious. Because he was caught on tape.
I'll cheer for Vandy instead.
Because he was caught on tape.
It would be great for a Final Four of LSU,
Arizona,
Auburn, and what's another big cheating team?
Kansas.
All to be in the Final Four.
The Pac 44.
It's a perfect Final Four.
Oh, man. From your lips to God's ears.
NCAA.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Keep on cocking.
Have a worry about weekend.